It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor?
My neighbor. I'm glad we're here together again.
Mr. Rogers demonstrated a faith to a watching world. He helped children learn to deal with their emotions like fear and anger. He taught everyone to be kind to their neighbor. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you will simply present your message. I don't want you to carry it for me. I want you to present it. I want you to preach it. I want you to touch our hearts. I want you to lift our hearts. I want you to encourage us and instruct us and help us to walk away with a smile on our face. I hope there's already a smile on our faces. And I pray that you'll be glorified by all of it. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, across the world, all around the world, we're seeing fear, we're seeing worry, we're seeing anger, we're seeing frustration, we're seeing sadness, and we're seeing panic. And many people are expressing a variety of emotions in face of the uncertainty that they're facing. I mean, obviously, we don't know what's happening or what the future holds. We don't know how long we're going to be in this situation with the coronavirus. We don't know how long, obviously, it's going to be, how it's going to affect our lives financially. We know that there are a lot of unknown issues that we are concerned about. As a result, we've seen panic, selling off stocks, hoarding and fights. We've seen others demonstrate love and kindness to their neighbors. I don't know if you noticed on the news last night or even the night before that students who are at home with their families, principals would get in their cars and caravan through the neighborhoods. They'd put streamers on their car and decorate their cars and signs on their cars, and they would yell out the window how much they love their students and that they miss their students, and family and kids were on the lawn and they were waving and saying hi, and they were sharing how much it meant to them to know that their principal and their teachers loved them so much. And so that's the kindness. That's the other kindness that we see, as opposed to the hoarding and the unthoughtfulness and the lack of concern for sharing with our neighbors the things that are needed, like toilet paper, food, and those types of things. So we need to be more like Mr. Rogers, if you will, but more importantly, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to do what we need to do, obviously, to survive, right? But as Christians, we really need to make the effort to look at this situation in lieu of the fact that we are God's children and we are protected by Him. And He's promised to meet our needs. He knows our needs ahead of time. He knows before we even ask them. And we need to trust Him with that. We need to trust Him with our finances. We need to know that even though we may not get a paycheck and we may not be able to pay our bills, that He will still carry us through the process. And that life will go on and we'll make it work. He'll make it work. And so He'll provide the money that we need for our bills, and He'll provide the food that we need for our families. Maybe it won't come in the way or the timing, or maybe it won't come in the substance that we want, but nonetheless, God will sustain us and carry us. The thing that we need to remember most importantly, the number one rule in any survival situation is this: don't panic. The number one rule in any survival situation is this: don't panic. That's the title of the message today. Don't panic. According to Survival Club, quote unquote, Studies have shown that most people without specific types of training, like military training, first responder training, or survival training, when they are faced with threatening circumstances, 10% of men and women are known to have what's called a fight response. Fight response. They do whatever they can to gain control of their emotions, and they determine what is the right course that they're going to take in lieu of the circumstance that they're facing, in lieu of that which is threatening them. They gear up for what's in front of them. They do whatever they can to take control in that situation. Another 10% have what's called a flight response, and they lose control of their emotions, and they panic. Where we've seen panic. We hear it on the news. We hear it every time we turn on the TV. We're hearing about how people are panicking. You know, we were listening to Greg Laurie yesterday, I believe it was, as he had preached last week. And there have been a huge number of people. Usually they have like 100 people a week maybe come to know Christ. They had like over 700, I think, or closer to 1,000 people receive Christ as their Savior because they're afraid. They don't have the security. They don't have the assurance. Some people are thinking horrible things about what's going to happen to our world globally. And so they're turning to God. My prayer is that, not to say that they wouldn't, but my prayer is that in times of crisis, people turn to God, and then when things get better, they walk away from God. But my prayer is that they will not do that, that their hearts are genuinely receiving Christ and seeking him out and finding comfort and assurance that helps them in this time of crisis that they're facing. So there are many that lose control of their emotions and panic. And sometimes that can cause harm. They can cause harm to themselves, and they can cause harm to others because they're panicking. They're not thinking about their actions. They're not thinking about anyone else. They're thinking about themselves, and they're acting in ways they typically would not act like. They're panicking. But there are the remaining 80% of people that do something that's called freezing. They freeze. They become emotionally overwhelmed and unable to do anything at all. So we have three groups of people. We have those that are ready to fight. I'm going to gear up. I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to grab the bull by the horn straight in the face, and I'm going to do what I need to do to approach this crisis the best way that I can and to keep it in control for me and my family. And then, of course, there are the others that on the flight response that have simply lost control of their emotions. They act in a way that's not right. And then the other 80% are those that are emotionally overwhelmed. They're emotionally paralyzed, if you will. They're unable to do anything. How many of you have seen the signs that say, keep calm? They're a red sign, have a crown on them. So there's an advertisement, keep calm. It's a red sign with a crown on it. Maybe you've seen them. And what I want to do is I want to share with you the history behind that, because maybe you don't know the history behind those. Maybe you do. But in the start of World War II, British Ministry of Information printed a series of posters. And two of them, there are three that they had printed, but the first two, they had printed in thousands. And the first one said, quote, freedom is in peril. Defend it with all your might. Let me read that again. Freedom is in peril. Defend it with all your might. That was the first poster. And remember, this was the British Ministry of Information. It was to give information, but it was also to motivate and to encourage those in the UK. The second poster said, quote, your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory, unquote. Your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory, unquote. These were plastered all over Britain. But the third poster that was printed was not distributed. It was only to be distributed in case Germany had invaded Britain. But the third poster that was printed said, quote, keep calm and carry on. I think we need to do that. We need to keep calm and carry on, because this invasion of this coronavirus, I think even for me, just this, the surrealness of it is that twofold. One, that it has not just affected us, but it has affected nations around the world globally. And two, that is a reality in our own communities, in our own families. And so those types of things are just impacting for me, for you, for all of us, I'm assuming. It impacts us that this is really happening. Maybe it's still in a surreal state of mind, but it's becoming more and more real. And so we need to keep calm. We keep calm and carry on. Do what we're supposed to do, as you've heard over and over, and keep calm. But I think also going back to the second poster that was printed, your courage, your cheerfulness, your resolution will bring us victory. And as believers in Christ, you know, if we're not fainting away with fear, but we're standing in courage because of our faith in Christ, and because of our faith in Christ, and we know that he knows our needs and he'll take care of us as his children, then we can have a peace that gives cheerfulness, that reflects a cheerfulness in our heart, that we can be happy even in this situation, something that many cannot relate to. And then we can also attribute that courage and that cheerfulness that we exhibit through our faith in Christ to help bring victory in this circumstance. Because the more fear is promoted, the more people are fed into the negativity of everything that's going on. Not to say that we're not supposed to know what is going on, but the more that the negativity is fed, the more panic evolves. But on the other hand, the more that we can show people that we can have calmness and confidence and assurance and even be happy in these times, even when we don't know what the future holds for us, that's a testimony, and it's an opportunity for you and I to share the gospel with others. I think it's a prime time for you and I to share the gospel with other people. And so when we go back to the history of the keep calm signs, the messages that were put up were presenting a British attitude of keeping a stiff lip, if you will. A stiff lip. What's the opposite of a stiff lip? Is when you start quivering. You start shaking. You start almost crying, if you will, because most people, when they cry, their face kind of contorts, doesn't it, to some sort of other face. It's a message that can help us maintain a proper perspective on fear or panic in any threatening circumstance we face. A message of cheerfulness, courage, confidence, resolution that we have victory in Christ. Now, that poster may or may not have been printed in lieu of faith in Christ, but as Christians, that's what it reflects to me. I want to look at a perspective that's found in 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 through 15. Therefore, once you have your minds ready for action and you are thinking clearly, place your hope completely on the grace that will be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. Don't be conformed to your former desires, those that shaped you when you were ignorant. But as obedient children, you must be holy in every aspect of your lives, just as the one who called you is holy. We got to keep our minds ready for action, godly perspective. We got to keep our minds from panicking that brings us to a place that we conduct ourselves outside of what our character normally is, that we are able to think clearly because our minds are focused properly. We're to have that hope completely on Jesus Christ and his grace, that unmerited favor toward us, because we are in Christ Jesus. And we're not to react like we would in the flesh, but we're to react by faith in Christ as children of God. Again, it's an opportunity for us to be a light and a witness in the world, in our community, of our faith and our security, standing on the rock of Christ, even in the face of these types of circumstances that are so threatening. We're to be obedient children. And the only way we can be obedient is that we, as God's children, seek to be holy. not above other people, not self-righteous, but holy, that our thoughts and our actions are in compliance to the will of God. And it's a battle sometimes, and we have to yield ourselves to God, and we have to acknowledge God, and we have to say, God, help us. The enemy's attacking us all the time. But God would not tell us to walk in a way of holiness or a right heart, having righteousness in our heart, walking as God would have us to, if we weren't able to. And the only way we can do this is by walking in fellowship with Jesus, because he's called us to be holy. He's called us to be his children. He's called us to be a witness. He's called us to be a reflection of who God is. So we are to prepare our minds for godly action. That comes by proper perspective. That comes by focusing on Jesus. That comes by keeping our heart right with the Lord, that we might respond with godly action, because we're seeing people not responding with godly action. We see people that are again, hoarding. We may see people that are robbing. We may see things in our society that aren't good. But as God's children, we are called to keep a right perspective and to keep our minds set for godly action. The mind's an extremely important part of our body, obviously. And it functions as a command center for the rest of our body. Just put it bluntly and crudely, if you cut a chicken's head off, it doesn't control the body very much. And our minds control our body. The Bible continually talks about the importance of right thinking. In Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." We have a challenge before us as Christians, that we can conform to the panic and the disorder and the selfishness that the world is exhibiting in this time of crisis. Or we can be transformed in our thinking by the renewing of our mind, listening to the Holy Spirit, knowing what he's counseling us, responding to him obediently, faithfully, having a right heart with God, which in essence is fulfilling what God has commanded us to do, to be holy, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God, that people can see in you and I the distinctive mark and the distinctive character of Jesus. Why? So that they might find hope, because they don't have hope without Christ. And if we have an opportunity to be that light to help bring people to a place where they cannot be in a panic mode, but have the assurance that Jesus will take care of them, that Jesus will provide for them, that no matter what happens, even for those that are so unfortunate, that percentage that die from this, that they will know that when they die, they go to heaven. But those that are alive, that receive Christ as their Savior, will have the assurance of knowing that God is real and alive, living inside of them, with them, whom they can call on for wise counsel, and they can trust on, and they can know that he understands our every concern and our burdens and our anxieties that we can lay down before him. So that was Romans 12:2, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." In Philippians 4:8, it says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." That helps us with the transforming of our mind and our thinking. That helps us to walk in a way that's pleasing to God, again, being holy in Christ Jesus, by making sure that our thoughts are in check with God, thinking about those things that are good, thinking about those things that are true, that are noble, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, anything that's praiseworthy. We are to think on these things, because that'll help diffuse the panic and the anxiety that we face. For instance, If I start seeing myself saying, oh, you know, what's going to happen financially or otherwise, and I can sense in my own heart and my own spirit that I am starting to focus that way and have an anxiety, if I stop myself and put myself in check and say, Jesus has promised to meet my needs. Jesus has promised never to leave me nor forsake me. Jesus has promised me that I am in his hands. Jesus will take care of me. He will take care of us. He will take care of our family as we rely on him. So we need to prepare our minds for action. We need to refuse to fill our minds with things that tempt us to panic or to fear. It means controlling the sights and the sounds and the experiences that go through our brains. What do I mean? Don't sit in front of the news all day. Don't continually fill your head with constant negativity about what's going on. Get your mind out of that stuff. Read your Bible, redirect, pray. Just do not submit yourself to that input on a constant basis. You need to know what's going on, but don't allow yourself to be filled so much with the negativity that's going on, because that will cause some anxiety. So you might want to ask yourself, if you're full of anxiety, if you're panicking, if you're afraid, are you allowing too much of this stuff to get into your thinking? Are you not shifting your focus to things that will calm you down, that will ease your anxiety? And so what we think and how we feel and what input we allow in our mind will come out in our actions. And that's why we were talking about earlier, that there are people that are panicking and responding selfishly, irrationally, and inconsiderately. And then there are other people that are responding in ways to encourage and uplift and to warm the heart of others in times of need, as we've talked about. In Proverbs 23, verse 7, the first part of that verse, it says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So if we're filled up with all this garbage, all this, I'm saying garbage to make light of the situation, but all this stuff that builds that anxiety in us, then the end result is that anxiety is going to overflow from us. And in particular, as believers, we should not have that anxiety overflowing. We shouldn't have anxiety. God doesn't want us to be anxious for anything. He wants us to go to him with thanksgiving. What's one of the things that we can be thankful for in this time of crisis is that people are turning their hearts to God. People are getting saved. What's another thing? Churches are missing the fellowship of their church family. What's another thing? Well, we're seeing people that are showing more concern for their neighbors and their community. And these are things that we can look to God and say, God, thank you for these things, even in this time. So don't let the news and TV and ads and magazines, books, social media, or anything else distract us from the things of God that can cause us to fear and panic. Remember that we, believers in Christ, have been called and placed by God. And I love this. I have always loved this because it is such an honor. We have been called to be ambassadors of Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, I mean, what an opportunity. We can stand out that much more by being ambassadors of Christ in this situation, in this crisis that our country and our communities and our world is facing. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, again, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Our conduct should reflect peace and joy in Christ." The world's going to look at us and say, how can you have peace and how can you have joy in this time of uncertainty? And that gives us the foot in the door to be able to say, I have confidence in my Savior who loves me and has promised to take care of me, who will carry me, and in whom I am secure. And it gives an opportunity to share the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, it says, "May the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ be blessed, He is the compassionate Father and God of all comfort. He's the one who comforts us in all our trouble so that we can comfort other people who are in every kind of trouble. We offer the same comfort that we ourselves receive from God. And I want to stop right there. As you and I are ministered to by the Holy Spirit in our life, by God in our life, as we gain comfort from God, we should be able to reflect on that and think, this is how God has comforted me. This is what God has told me. Then we could share that with other people because we're supposed to. How we've learned how God has loved us and comforted us and helped us is how we should reflect and share that with others that they might know the reality that Jesus is alive and in our lives and that they can know him also and be comforted by him. And so it says in verse 5, that is because we receive so much comfort through Christ in the same way that we share so many of Christ's sufferings. So if we have trouble, it is to bring you comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is to bring you comfort from the experience of endurance while you go through the same sufferings that we also suffer. Our hope for you is certain because we know that as you are partners in suffering, so also you are partners in comfort. I like that. This is the contemporary English Bible. But I like the fact that we are not only partners in Christ to suffer for Christ. As we stand for him, we will get rebuked and suffer in so many different ways around the world. But also as we are comforted by Christ, we will also share that comfort with others. We're partners in suffering and we are partners in comfort. So if we're filled with worry and fear and anger and panic as believers, then we are not being good ambassadors for Christ. And what a privilege it is to be an ambassador. I mean, if you were the ambassador for the United States, how cool would that be? I know that's judgment, that's subjective. But what a position of honor. We had a student that stayed in our house for 9 months from South Korea, and his father was the ambassador of South Korea. And I thought, how cool. But how much more cool is it, excuse the bad language, the bad English, for you and I to be representatives, that is, ambassadors for Jesus Christ. And so if we're reflecting fear and we're and worry and anger and panic, we're not reflecting the character of God. We're not reflecting faith in God. We're not reflecting trust in God. We're not reflecting our confidence in God's love for us. We're not reflecting the comfort that God, or the counsel that God gives us, we are reflecting what everybody else is reflecting that doesn't know Christ. So when we reflect those good things that reflect that security and that comfort and that assurance, that joy, that confidence, then we reflect the character of Christ. And so we need to be good neighbors like Mr. Rogers, but more importantly, we need to be good neighbors as Jesus would have us to be good. We need to demonstrate our faith. We need to demonstrate God's love. We need to keep calm and don't panic. We need to trust God with all of your needs. It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you. I've always wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Won't you please? Won't you please? Please, won't you be my neighbor? Be a good neighbor. Show the character and love of Jesus in your life during this time. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one that's at ear's distance to this message. And I pray that we as Christians will rejoice in the privilege that we have to bear the character of Christ, the wisdom of Christ, the comfort of Christ, the life of Christ in our lives that affect our lives in a way that's different in response to the world in lieu of the circumstance of the coronavirus and all that it threatens us with. I pray, Father, please, that you would put it on hearts of people that may be hearing this message that have not asked Jesus Christ into their life, that they will look to Jesus as their Savior, not just from this circumstance, not just from the coronavirus, but that they would look to Jesus as their Savior forever, that they would call on you with all sincerity, that they would give their lives over to you, that they would learn that when this crisis is over, that if another crisis of any form comes in our way, that they will know how to stand with confidence and boldness and joy and cheerfulness and faithfulness and trust in you, Lord. I pray your honor that. We ask this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.